Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Pei Gimel, and we are 16 lines from the top of daf Pei Gimel Lamed Aleph. Ahu Gav. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasun Matzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus Rufu Shalem of Achayim Yosef Shmuel Abba Ben Shira, and today's daf is being learned Leilui Nishmas Reb Chaim Ben Reb Moshe. So the last Mishnah in Perek Hasoicher Asumnin discusses somebody that was transferring the chavis of somebody else, mimakim lemakim, the shofar, and the chavis broke. The Mishnah said, bein shem achinam, bein shem resachar, regardless of whether this maver, this porter, was a shem achinam or a shem resachar, the halacha is the same. He should swear that he wasn't negligent, and if he does so, he is going to be potter from pain. Gemara brought a braisa, which mentioned Ashitas Rabbi Yehuda. It also mentioned Ashitas Rabbi Elazar. And what emerged is, it's a whole sugya, what exactly the halacha is when someone is rather innocently transferring a chavis mimakim lamakim and it breaks. The Gemara said that really at the core of this shayla is how do we treat someone that's niska? Someone that falls, or somebody that drops something. Is he a pesheya, or is he not a pesheya? It's a sugya arucha in the third parak of Masechtas Bava Mekamo, in parak HaMiniach, and that's really what's at the forefront of this entire discussion. Now, in the course of the Gemara, which we are not going to chazer, the shita of Isi ben Yehuda was quoted. Isi ben Yehuda said a tremendous chiddush in the world of Shvuas Hashem. He said that if you take a look at the pasuk, it says ki yitein ishal re'eyu chamor v'shor v'seh v'chol behem v'lishmor u'meis oy nishbar oy nishba ein roya. Emphasis on those two words. Shvuas Hashem tia ben shneyem im lo yisholach yodai b'melachas re'eyu v'lokach b'olav v'lo yishal. These psukim are the source to Shvuas Hashem. And the Torah prefaces the Shvuas Hashem with the words ein roya. And from there, said Isi ben Yehuda, we learn that the only time it's so simple for a Shomer to walk into Bez and swear and be off the hook is to the extent that it was a matziv of ein roya. Ha yesh roya, then the halacha is he cannot swear. So what does it mean, ein roya yesh roya? So the way Isi ben Yehuda interpreted was that if you're in a situation where, as far as we're concerned, chances are, the probability is that nobody saw this happen. So then, it's as simple as come to Bez and swear, and you'll be off the hook. Hayesh Raya, if however this took place in a public area, where it's very likely that there were people that witnessed these events, and they can walk into Bez and shed light and share information, then the halach is you can't simply swear, but rather over there you have to do some investigative work, and we cannot rely on the Shvuah. So this is a very big chiddush. Meaning, it's not like there are Edom that are walking into Bezdin right now and saying this happened or that happened. If that were the case, obviously, we wouldn't rely on a Shvuah. What we're saying is that if there's a matziv where it's possible, there's a high probability that people know what happened, then you have to do a proper due diligence, try to get to the bottom of things, and you cannot simply and merely rely on a Shvuah. So what's Isi ben Yehuda's chiddush? That although there's a parasha of Shvuas HaShoimrim, and a Shoimer can sometimes get off the hook if he swears, but the only time we will simply rely on the Shvuah is if it's a matziv of Ein Raya. To the extent there is a chance that somebody knows what's going on, then we would have to do a little bit of due diligence. The Gemara from here till the bottom of the Yomid is going to talk a little bit about this shita of Isi ben Yehuda. We're going to see how Amoiram applied this halacha l'maisa. We'll see whether the halacha is like Isi ben Yehuda. Additionally, what we're going to see is whether Isi ben Yehuda's chiddush is only true for Shvuas HaShoimrim, or is this concept true for all Shvuas? Either way, with that introduction, Zok the Heilige Gemara. Who gave it? There was a person that became Aver Chavisa the Chamra, Berisika the Mechuzo. There was a person who was transferring barrels of wine in the shuk of Mechuza, the Tavra Beziza the Mechuza. And he inadvertently broke the chavis on a ziz that was protruding from one of the walls in Mechuza. Also, the Kamid Rava, and there was now a small claims court little dispute, and it was presented to Rava, who of course was the Rava Mechuza. So Rava said, Ristika de Mechuza, Shrichi Ba Inchi. If this took place in the Ristika de Mechuza, took place in the Shuk, there's always a lot of people there. I see Raya, go bring Edim that saw that you were not Poshea, which is what you're claiming, the Iftar, and if you do that, you will be off the hook. Meaning, based on the letter of the law, what Rava could have said was, it's a Mishnah. Hamaver chavas mimakim lamakim b'shavra, bein shoy mechinam, bein shoy mirsachar yishavra. But that's not what he said. What he said was, Ristika, the mechuza is a place where it's shchichi ba'inchi, I want you to prove that you aren't peshay. Meaning, I'm not going to rely on your shvu. Amalei Rav Yosef Berei. So Rav Yosef, who was Rava's son, was present, and he said, kaman ki isi, tata. In other words, you're invoking the halacha of Isi. Is that true? Amalei in ki isi. Yes, I am invoking the halacha of Isi. And here's the punchline. V'sfir lan kavosei. Because we paskin like Isi ben Yehuda. And this chiddush of Isi ben Yehuda is halacha l'maisa. And therefore, Rava in Mechuza said that although there is a concept of a shvuas ha-shoimrim by amah v'chavis mimakon l'makon v'shavra, but that's only if it's ein raya. Ristika Mechuza is a place of yesh raya, and therefore he would not allow him simply to swear. Who gave another story? There was a person who told his friend, Zil Zabinli Arbe Meyadani Chamra, go buy for me 400 barrels of wine. Azal Zabinli. So this person, he was a shliach, went and he bought the wine. L'soif asa l'kameh. After he bought it, he went to the person that sent him, Amalei, and he told him, Zvina lach arbe mea dani chamro. I did everything you asked me to do. I bought 400 barrels of wine. However, utkifaluhu, it went bad. It's sour, it's chayim, it's vinegar. Mashalech wasn't very happy. Shalech said, what should I do? Mashalech was a little suspicious. He thought that maybe what this person did was he took money to buy wine, he bought spoiled wine, and he pocketed the difference. So he takes him to court. They went to Rava. So Rava said as follows. When a situation like this happens, 400 barrels of wine go bad, someone's going to know about it. There has to be people that are aware of what exactly happened. Zil Aisni Raya, I want you, he's telling the Shliach to go prove that when you bought it, it was really proper wine and it spoiled the iftar, and then and only then are you going to be potter. Now, the truth is, this psak of Rava was a little bit of a chiddush. And the reason is, because ordinarily, if you have a dispute between a Mishaleach and a Shliach, that mirrors this Gemara, the halacha would be that the shliach is supposed to swear that he did everything he was supposed to do, the iftar, and he'll be off the hook. Now, that shvua is not a shvua deiraisa, it's a shvua derabanan, right? It's not moed v'miksas, it's not shvua sashayrin, it's not shvua seidecha, but that would typically be the halacha. So that, really, you would have thought that what Rava would have told the shliach was swear, that what you're saying is true, the iftar. It's not what he told him. What he told him was, people must know about it, so go prove that what you're saying is true. So, says the Gemara, Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, was present when Rava issued this psak. Amalei Rav Yosef Rei. So Rav Yosef, his son, told him, Keman, Tata, Ki Isi, are you paskening like Isi? Meaning, although really what the halacha should be is that the shliach should swear, but being that this is a matzav of Yesh Raya, so over here, the shvu is not going to help. Amalei, he told him, In, yes, Ki Isi, Usfiro lan kabosei, and we pasken like Isi. Now, the two stories really mirror each other. Right? It's almost a little difficult to understand why it would have repeated itself. After Rav Yosef Breid de Rava heard from his father that his father holds like Isi, then why would he have questioned him a second time when the second story happened? What's the answer? The answer is because Isi ben Yehuda said his halacha regarding Shavuos HaShoimrim. That is the source of his halacha. So Solkatai Techamira, that maybe this halacha is only true for Shavuos HaShoimrim. That's the chiddush of the second story, that Rava held Isi's halacha not only regarding the Shavuos HaShoimrim, where it says Mefurish in the Torah Ein Raya, but he applied it broadly and generally to all different types of Shavuos. That's the second shock of Atari, and that's why the Gemara brought both stories, to show that the halacha is like Isi, and not only by Shavuos HaShoimrim, but really by all different types of shvuos. A third story. Iskin Rav Chiya bar Yosef besichra. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef, he instituted the following halacha in Sichra. That's a place. Okay, what was the halacha that he instituted? Hani didaru ba'agra ve'itfer. If you have somebody that was carrying something ba'agra, and this thing broke. So Rashi tells us a little bit of an elaborate story of exactly what's going on, but the short version is that this person was carrying something that really was a little bit too heavy for one person to carry, but a little too light for two people to carry. So in the olden days, they would carry things with the moit, with the yoke, and the way it was set up was for two people to carry would be a little bit clumsy, but for one person, it's a little bit heavy. The bottom line is, this person was carrying this by himself, and then it broke. So the question is he responsible? Is he not responsible? On the one hand, maybe you want to make him responsible as a poisheya, right? If you're poisheya and you're mavrichavas b'makom l'makom v'shavra, we're not having the conversation. For sure you're going to be chayev. So why is he a little bit poisheya? Because you're one person, you're carrying it by yourself. But then again, it would have been a little challenging to have two people carry it, so really I'm not such a poisheya. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef, he laid down the law, and he said that the halach in a situation like this is mishalim palga. You pay half. My time, and what's the reason? Nafish lochad, because really it's a little too heavy for one person. Obevezuta letrei, it's a little too light and too clumsy for two people. Therefore, you're a karev la'oinis, but at the same time, you're a karev lepshia. So therefore, what he said was, you split the baby in half, and the halach is, yachloiku, you're going to pay half of it. Bedigla, let's say this was something that two people could have carried, again, Ayin Rashi, then Mishal and Kula, then the halach is, you're going to be responsible, you're going to have to pay the entire thing. Rabba bar bar chanin, tarvu luhu, hanu shkuloi chavisa dechamra. So he had hired people to carry a chavis for him, and these porters, these people, they broke the chavis. Rabbi Bar Bachanan heard what happened. He was very upset. Shokoli glimayo. He took their shirt, meaning he took it as collateral until they were gonna pay him. Says the Gemara, Asmer Amr the Rav. So these chevra, these carriers, they went to Rav and they told Rav what happened. That Rabbi Bar Bachanan hired us. We broke the chavis. I understand there's a whole sugya that we're responsible, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're Shem Mesach, you have to pay, you have to swear, in Roya, right? It's very possible you have to pay. So he wants to invoke the halacha that we have to pay. But he said that, you know, we feel very bad for what happened, but at the same time, he took our shirts, literally. So the Gemara says, Amalei, so Rav told Rabbi Bar Bar Chanin, Havlu Glimayu, give them their shirt back. Amalei, so Rabbi Bar Chanin told Rav, Dina Hachi, is that the halacha? Amalein, it is the halacha. Says, where does it say that halacha? That's not what I'm familiar with. Said, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. Shloimeh Melech said in Mishlei Perek Beis, Leman Teilech B'Derech Toivim. That person has to go in the Derech Toiv, and the Derech Toiv would be not to take the shirt away. So the Gemara says, Yavlu Glimayu, and gave them their shirt. Amalei. So then these chevra told Rav, you know, ani anan, we're very, very poor. V'tarchina kula yoyma, we've been working the entire day. Vik kafinan, we're starving. V'leslan midi, and we don't have anything. Now, we were hoping we were going to get paid. We're schir yoyim. He was going to pay us for the day's work. We're going to go home and buy some dinner. The problem is, he's certainly not paying us. So what should we do? Amale. So Rav told Rav, bar bar chanin, zil hav igrayu. I want you to pay him. Amale, dina hachi, what? I have to now pay them? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. That's supposed to pay me. Why am I paying them? Malayin, yeah, it's a mafurish halacha. What's this halacha? It's the same exact pasuk in Mishlei. It says, va'archos tzadikim tishmar. There's an idea that a yid is supposed to go, va'archos tzadikim. And based on the idea of the man, telech b'derech toivim, va'archos tzadikim tishmar, it's for that reason he told him, this is something that you have to do. So we're not going to delve too much into this, although we do have a raid bite from the last machzer, Ayin Sham. But you see from this Gemara, something that you see from time to time, and that is that ordinarily there's din and then there's lifnim ashur sadin, but there were times where you see that lifnim ashur sadin was something that was imposed, and that lifnim ashur sadin, although by its very definition is something that you don't have to do, but sometimes fakert, there's a tvia, you're supposed to go lifnim ashur sadin. Exhibit A for this is a Gemara in Perikei Lamatzias that we learned earlier in Daf Lamed Amud Beis. It's also Gemara Masechtas Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, where it says in the Torah, V'sarta esem es achukim v'satoyro es v'idatol hem es aderech yelkuba v'es hamasa asher yasum. And the Gemara brings a braisa. Rabbi Yosef was the one that brought the braisa that tightened up this whole pasuk. V'idatol hem ze beis chayeim es aderech zug milos chasodim yelchu zu bikur choylem ba zu kfuro v'es hamasa ze hadin asher yasum. So lifnim ashur sadin, we have the Gemara that says lechor v'yushalayim elam epnei shehimidu dineim al din Torah. So although lifnim ashur sadin is something that's extra credit and you never get penalized for not doing extra credit, but sometimes there's an inyan of din ahachi. The din ahachi is to do lifnim ashur sadin. It's an oxymoron, but there is such a concept. When do you invoke it? So if you read the pasuk, it sounds like v'orchos tzadikim tishma, right? If you're a tzadik, if you're a toiv, that's when this is something that's enforced. But either way, on that note, Hadron Halach, Hasoicher Esom, Zokt, the Mishnah writer. A seventh parak here in Masechtas Bava Metzia. So Soiches HaPoyalim, if somebody hires a poyal, V'amalem, and he told him, Lahashkim ula hariv, that I want you to start in the morning, and I want you to end in the evening. Now, the last parak was called Asoiches HaOmnin. This parak is called Asoiches HaPoyalim. When we started Asoiches HaOmnin, we spoke at Toysus in the beginning of Asoiches HaOmnin, that said that the word Omnin is a Lashon Klali. It means a worker. What kind of worker? It could be a Schir Yoyim, someone that's working for the day. It could be a Kavlon, someone that's getting paid to do a job. A poyel, Toysus there spoke out, is specifically a schir yoyim, someone that's getting paid for the day. So we're talking about a schir yoyim. Hasoichres apoyelim va'omer lahem, and the employer told these chevra that are taking their job, I want you to come in the morning lahashkim, and I want you to stay until the evening ulaharif. So what's the halacha? Makom shenagu shalei lahashkim v'shalei laharif. In the event that the minhag makom is not to start your day too early and not to end it too late, any rasha olakoyfa, you can't force it. Meaning, if you said lahashkim ulaharif, you can't say afterwards, you know, lahashkim to me means fatugs, it means alois, and laharif means the achtelzman. No, you can't say that. You have to go based on the minhag makom. So if the minhag makom is shalei lahashkim v'shalei laharif, you can't force them to do otherwise. Makom shenagu lazon. If the minhag makom is that the employer gives the employee food, Yazon, then you now are going to be obligated to feed them. Meaning, even though this is not something that was stipulated, this is not something that was ever talked about, but to the extent that that's what the minhag hamakim is, that's what you have to do. Lasapek b'mesika yasapek. If the minhag hamakim is to provide mesika, Rashi says mesika is lifton. So lifton is like a relish, something that people used to use as a dip. Then you have to do that. Hakol k'minhag hamedina. The long and short of it is, you have to follow the minhag hamedina. So whatever the minhag hamedina is, that's what you're obligated to do. Maisa, there was a story of Rabbi Yechon ben Masi. Shama the Benai. Rabbi Yechon ben Masi told his son, "Tzei schar lanu payalim. Go hire for us payalim." So Rabbi Yochanan ben Masi has a business, and he tells his son, "I want you to go hire people to come work for us." Halach, he went, upasak lehem mezoinos. He told the employees that, "Come work, this is your wage, and by the way, lunch is on the house." And when he came back, he told his father what he did. Amaloi, says father told his son, "Bni, oh, did you make a mistake? You said lunch is on the house, meaning as if whatever they want to order, it's going to be open season. If you do that, even if you're going to feed them mamish kesuda shleimah b'shaita, it might not be enough, Iman. Why? Because they're bnei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and maybe they eat the types of sudas that Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov ate. What does that even mean? The Gemara is going to talk about that. But the point is, if you say lunch, you basically open yourself now to have to give them whatever it is that they want. See, he said, go back quickly, Schnell, save Amar Lehem, and tell them as follows. Almanasha ein lochem olai elo pas v'kitnes bovad. Yeah, lunch is on house, but let me tell you what's on the menu. There's patnis, and there's a little bit of kitneyis of Pesach fame, right? That's all you're getting. You're not getting anything beyond that, says the Gemara. Reb Shimon Gamliel loimer, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, loihoyot tzarech loimer, that really what Reb Yochanan ben Masi said was not necessary. Why? Because Hakol k'minhag hamedina. Everything really follows the minhag hamedina. So if the minhag hamedina is to give pas v'kitnes bovad, that's all he would have to give. If the minhag hamedina was to give kesuda shleimah b'shaita, and a chanami, but it doesn't sound like that was the minhag hamedina. Either way, this whole inyan that he was a little paranoid about, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, was really something that was not necessary. Either way, taking it from the top. So what's the first halacha of the Mishnah? First halacha of the parak. Somebody hires a schir yoyim, says, I want you to come in the morning, I want you to leave in the evening. So what does the morning mean? Usually 9 o'clock. What's the evening? 5 o'clock? Maybe 8 to 4? If you decide that you want him to come really early and leave really late, that's not something you're allowed to do. Why would you think otherwise? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's a little bit of a chiddush. The tafilu agrai, where this person offered extra money. I would have thought, you can tell them, the reason I offered you a little bit extra money is, adaita de mikadmisu umichashchisru bahadadi. Meaning, you should have realized that I was offering you more money than what going rate is. And the reason, obviously, is not because I'm looking to give you more money, but the reason is because I was expecting something in return. And if you agreed, you shook hands on this agreement, then you obviously agreed to come earlier and leave late, so that I could have thought that there's an umdin of the muchach that that's really what was agreed upon. Kamashmon, that's the chiddush. The amrulei, they can tell him back, yes, I thought something was strange. I couldn't figure out why you're offering me an extra dollar an hour. But I assume that the reason was the haid the taftlon. The reason you're giving me more is a daita davdin l'chavit shapirta, because you wanted me to be more motivated to do a little bit of a better job. It's not muchach that I ever accepted to work longer hours. That al kaponim is the chiddush to the mishnah. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said poyo. A worker, b'chnisasoi mishaloi. When he comes back to the city, meaning the olden days, just to visualize this, people lived in the city, they worked out in the field. So when this poyel comes from the field back into the city, he has to do it on his own dime. B'itziyosoi, when he goes out to the field from the city, mishnal balabais. Then he can do it from the balabais. In other words, someone who agrees to work from morning until evening. So what does that mean? That means that you have to arrive at the job in the morning, or it means you leave to your job in the morning. It means that you leave the job in the evening, or it's understood that you could be home in the evening. So that's what Reish Lakish was addressing. He said, a poyel b'chnisasai, when he enters the city, when he comes home, mishaloi. That comes from his own cheshbon, meaning he has to be at the job until the evening, and then afterwards, he can come home. Be it siyosai, however, when he leaves, Mishal Balabais, that could be on the dime of the Balabais. He doesn't have to leave until the morning. Shenemar, and this is all based on a pasuk. It says, Tizrach Hashemesh Yeyoseifun, the El Mo'inosom Yerbatsum. We need the next part of the pasuk. Yetzei Adam Lefa'oloi, the Lavoi Dosnoi Adei Arev. Meaning, we actually need both parts of the pasuk. So, Tizrach Hashemesh Yeyoseifun, when the sun rises in the morning, that's when it's Yetzei Adam Lefa'oloi. That's when the person leaves to his job. Meaning, you leave when it's day. You don't have to be at the job when it's day. But you remain there how long? You're there at your avoda until the evening, because when you come back, it has to be dark. That's this idea. So somebody agrees to work for the day. He says, he's a poyel, morning until evening. B'chnisasai comes mishaloi, b'tziyasai it's mishal balabais, and this is based on a pasuk in Tehillim. This is a Baruch Nafshi thing, right? But it's based on a pasuk. Freit the Gemara, I understand. This is a pasuk. This is like a din. It's a gzeres hakasiv. It's from the Chukas HaTorah, b'lechzi heichin higi. Wouldn't it make more sense that the way you should go about this is, let's see what the minhag hamakom is. Meaning, if the minhag hamakom is to do it this way, do it this way. If the minhag hamakom is to do it differently, do it differently. You would think for sure that the minhag would trump whatever you have mashmois wise in a pasuk. So the Gemara says, true. 100% great question. Abiv Ir Chadash. We're talking about a new city. We're talking about a city that has no minhag hamakom. Faith the Gemara, v'nechzi meheichu ka'asi. Even if this city itself has no minhag hamakom, but why don't we look at where the chever that live in the city came from, and let's see what their minhag hamakom was. So the Gemara says, b'nikutai, these were people that all came from different shtetlach and from different places, and as a result, there's no predominant minhag hamakom, even if you want to look at where they originally were from, and it's based on that we have this halacha, that if there's no minhag hamakom, okay, so then tizrach hashemesh, yetzei adam lefa'oloi, v'lavoidase yador. But enechinami, what is the Gemara saying? That in the event that there was a minhag hamakom, so then you would tackle, follow whatever the minhag hamakom is, and not just the minhag hamakom of this place, even the minhag hamakom of where the majority of the people that are living there came from. From the last machzor, we have a fascinating tshuva from a Moshe and a Reitbite with regards to this and some of the greeners that came to America after World War II. Ayin Shom. Iba Yisem, the Gemara says, another way you can answer this is, the Amral Huda, recently Kapel Day Rice. I mean, if there's a Minhag HaMakom, you would ordinarily follow the Minhag HaMakom. But what happens if the employer and the employee, they sat down together, and they said, okay, you have to work in the morning. What time does it start? So he says, why are we making up our own rules? Let's just do what it says in the Torah. Oh, if you say you want to follow what it says in the Torah, that's certainly something that you're allowed to do, right? You could be masna mashakasa b'minik. That's for sure something that's within their rights. So now the question is, v'shteit in the Torah? Oh, v'shteit in the Torah is Tehillim, capital Kuf Dalet. And it's there that this halacha is going to be. No, okay, either way. The Gemara now is going to take one of the greatest left turns of all time. So there are digressions, and then there are digressions. This is a digression with a hey idea, and really what the digression is going to do is usher in five dafin of very, very welcome agadata. So for whatever reason, in the three bavis and the 30 prakim and Almost in the middle, somewhere, we have a weak breather of Agadot. The Gemaras we're going to learn now are super light, very different than most of what we've been learning for the last little while. And it's Gemaras that are well known and famous, and a lot of raid, and certainly a lot of related raid bites associated with these Gemaras that we're about to learn. Says the Gemara, Dorish Rab Zeira. Rab Zeira said, "Amri v'osam say, Tani Rab Yosef, that Rab Yosef taught the following in a brayser. My dechsev, what's pshat in the pasuk that says, Toshes choishech v'hi loyla boy sirmois kol chayso yar." Says the Gemara, Toshes choishech v'hi loyla ze oil mazeh. It's referring to oil mazeh shadoim lo light, which is compared to darkness. Boy sirmois kol chayso yar. It's at night that all the chayseyar, all the animals, do their thing. Elu rishon sheba. It's referring to the rishon that live in olam hazeh shadoim lechay shabiyah. They're compared to the chay shabiyah. Tizrach hashemesh yeo seifun ve'el moynasim yirbatzum. Tizrach hashemesh letzadikim. One day the sun is going to rise for the tzadikim. And when it does, yeo seifun rishon legehenim. At that same time, the rishon are going to end up being gathered to gehenim. Ve'el moynasim yirbatzum. This is going back to the tzadik. Ein lecha kol tzadik ve'tzadik she'ein lo imodol l'fichvoidoi. There isn't a tzadik that's not going to have a place to reside that's going to be l'fichvoidoi. Yeitzei adam l'fa'oloi. Yeitzu tzadikim l'kabel scharam. The tzadikim are going to go out to get their schar. V'l'avidosni adi yoref. But not all tzadikim. It's only b'mish ishlam avidosni adi yoref. Somebody that was able to remain a tzadik adi yoref until the very end of his life. Either way, this is a very homiletic interpretation of this pasuk. The pasuk is referring to Elam Hazeh, the Tzadikim, the Rishon. Either way, says the Gemara. That note, Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon, Ashkach Lahu Parhagavno, the Tofes Ganavi. Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon, right? So who is Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon? And this is actually quite remarkable because really, today's daf, very much tomorrow's daf, and even into the following daf, the Gemara is going to tell the story of Reb Shimon, who's the son of Reb Shimon by Achai. So in the world of Hashkocha that played itself out during the 14th Machzer of Daf Yomi, this is up there. Because the story of Reb Shimon is, of course, Reb Shimon by Achai's son, who's very much associated with Lag Ba'omer, v'chule, and the story of Reb Shimon is mentioned, obviously, in Zohar Kaddish and in Midrashim, but in Talmud Bavli, it's the first few dafin in Perek HaSoiches HaPoilim, so you know, we're a few dafin ahead, so it's closer to Lag Ba'omer than it really feels like it is. But the point is that mamish, the days leading up to Lag Ba'omer, we're learning now the Maisa Shahoya Kachoya and the Nifla Diga Agadata that relate to Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon. But either way, so Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon, he met a person whose job it was to find Ganavim. So he's working for the government, he's some federal agent, and he is in the geshäft of finding Ganavim and incarcerating them. Amalei, so Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon asks this person, tell me, hechi yachlus lahu. Says, you really think you're doing a good job? You think you know who's innocent? You know who's guilty? Lav kechei vasa mesili. These ganavim, they're compared to chayis. The pasuk says, bois sir mois, kol chayso yar. Ikadami, some say that he quoted a different pasuk. Mehaikro kamale. He told him, yeroiv ke bamistar ka arye basukai. Referring to the ganav. The ganav, he lurks in a hidden place like the lion does in his den. In other words, what he told him was, Dilma Shaklus Sadiki Vishafkis Rashi. How do you know that you're not taking people that are tzaddikim and you're leaving behind the people that are Rishon? Me, I'm not so sure you're doing a good job. Amalei told him, my Avid, I hear you. I agree with you. There's risk associated with what we do. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not foolproof. Sometimes there are people where the verdict is guilty. Hagam, they're really innocent. And there's a lot of guilty people that are drengzich, that are not getting the din v'cheshbon that they're supposed to get. But you have to understand something. Hermana de Malkahu. I'm just following orders. I'm doing my job. I'm told that I have a quote of people that I need to chop, and I have to try my best. There's nothing I can do. So Rabbi Shimon said, listen, I understand. He says, let me give you a few tips. Just some chachma that maybe you can apply to your geshäft, and like this, I think will increase the chances of you getting this right. He says, oh, ba'arba shoy v'chanus. I want you to go on the fourth hour of the day into the chanus. If you see a person drinking wine, the kanokit kasabi yode, and he was holding the glass of wine in his hand, the kamen namnim, and as he's holding the cup of wine in his hand, he's falling asleep. Sholi loveh. You see that person? Zero in on him and start asking questions. If you're told that he's a younger man, who for some reason is sitting in a chanos at the fourth hour of the day, holding a glass of wine and falling asleep. Okay. But either way, if that's what he is, then it's mistaber that what happened is he got up faktog, he got up really, really early. Right, this is where you have to put on your Dan Lekav Schus hat. But the bottom line is, he got up really, really early, he's been learning in faktog, and that's why he's falling asleep. He's innocent, leave him alone. If he's someone that's a schir yoyim, right, he works during the day, then it's very possible he woke up really early, fartugs, like in our Mishnah, and as a result, he's a little bit tired right now. He had a long day, he can use a good glass of wine, and he's falling asleep. Pasha because he's tired. And if he's someone that works at night, maybe he's somebody that makes threads out of metals and out of copper. Ayin Rashi. Now, what is that all about? So Rashi says a whole shlokal Torah. Rashi says that if he works at night, you're going to say, no, if he worked at night, I would hear him working at night. He's my neighbor. It's a small shtetl. No, it's not muchach he would have heard, because maybe he does a job where the work is very, very quiet, and as a result, you didn't hear him. Meaning, if he's someone that has a job at night, you know he works the night shift, then that certainly explains why in the morning he's having a late breakfast, falling asleep over a cabernet. Right? You hear it. And if he's none of the above, he's not a tzumer rabbanon, he's not a schir yoim, and doesn't work at night, well, then ganavahu. Then obviously he works the night shift, but he does it in a different way, and he works at night, and he's a ganav, and it's for that reason that he's very tired now. The tafse, you should chop him. This is the person that you should incarcerate. So this is the evidence that you're going to have, right? What's this evidence that we're building our case on? This is the person, I saw him sitting in a chanos, falling asleep over a glass of wine. He's not a tzum rabban, he's not a skayoyim, and he doesn't weave threads of metal and of copper. Either way, so this par hagavna goes back, and he tells the authorities that, you know, I met this big rabbi, supposedly a very, very smart man, and this was the advice that he gave. He says, shtamen milsa be malka. The malka, the king, heard about this. Amru, they said as follows, karyonet igrisa iu lehevi parvanka. Rashi says, mashalu, this is an expression. The expression is that if you're the shliach, and you're the one that's presenting us with this idea, you should be the one that executes it. They forced Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon to be someone that's going to chap ganavim. Meaning, if you think that this really works, and apparently you know this geshef, so don't just teach it. Tachlis, let me see you actually do it. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon went, and he started working for the government, and using this interesting strategy, he's arresting people all over the place. So the Gemara says, Shalcha, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. So Rabbi Shua ben Karcha sent to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon the following message. He said, Chaymitz ben Yayin. He says, you're vinegar, the son of wine. Who is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's father? Rabbi Shimon Aichai, who's Yayin. But you're Chaymitz ben Yayin. Chaymitz ben Yayin, probably a little bit of a play on this strategy, pun intended. But he told him, Admasayat Moisa Amishal Elikenu Lairigo. You're literally being a Moisa, you're taking Yidin. A lot of these people were Jews, and yet incarcerating them based on some circumstantial whatever. He says, how could you do something like that? Shalach Leisi, he told him, Koitzen, Ani Mechalim in a Kerem. He says, what do you mean? I'm removing the weeds from the Kerem. Klai Yisrael's a Kerem, it's a vineyard, and I'm helping the Abish to pluck out all the people that he doesn't really want. Shalach Leisi, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha told Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon that if the Abish wants to pluck out the weeds, Yavai Bala Kerem V'yichales Koitzen. Let the Abish come and do it by himself. He doesn't need your help. This is not something you should be doing. You're a Moiser, and he was very disappointed at him. That he referred to him as Chaymitz Bayan. Says the Gemara, Yom Echad, one day, there was a Koyves, a launderer, that saw Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And he called him Chaymitz Bayan. Now, Shua ben Karcha called Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Chaymitz Bayan. Okay, Shua ben Karcha is a bar hochi to say Chaymitz Bayan, even to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. But Ahu Koyves? How could you call me Chaymitz Bayan? Amas, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon sent me the Chatz of Kulei. This person is obviously Ayena Mechitzit. No, Shmami no Rishiyu. Must be he's a Rasha. He told the Cheva, a Ganif, lock him up. Amalu Tafsu, Tafsu. And they locked him up. The boss of the Nach Taite, after Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon calmed down a little bit, Ozo Basre Lefruke, he says, you know what? It's true, he's a mechitzeth, but doesn't necessarily mean that he's someone that deserves to be incarcerated. Oh, and by the way, we're going to see in a second. You know what happened to all these chevra that were incarcerated? It was death row. They were all killed, these people. So he says, I don't know if this person necessarily deserves to die for, like, so he tried going and he tried redeeming him, picking Shmuel like Matzi, but he was unsuccessful. Meaning, this person had been killed. Kari Alea, he said, Shayme Pivulu Shaynoi, Shayme Mitzaris Nafshay. That you see, sometimes you just have to watch your mouth. Meaning, he was referring to the Koivis. The Koivis opened his mouth, he said, Chaymitz Ben Yayin, and because he said that, he ended up dying. Now, Rabbi Shimon felt guilty about what happened, but at the same time, had he not put his foot in his mouth, so to speak. If he was Shomer Pivot L'Shoyne, this would have never happened. So, Kari Aleo, Shomer Pivot L'Shoyne, Shomer Mitzaras Nafshi. Either way, Zakfu. This person was hung, literally, by the gallows. Come to say Skifo, so Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, he stood underneath these gallows. The Kabochi, and he was crying, because he understood that he was complicit, someone in this person's death. Amrulay, so they told him, Rebbe, Al Yere Beinacha, don't feel so bad. Because let me tell you a little bit about this person. Shahu Bnoi, this person and his son, Balu Naira Murasa B'Yom HaKippurim. They were Boil Naira Murasa, not just that, B'Yom HaKippurim. That's like the worst thing you could possibly do. So because they did something so terrible, so Memele, you shouldn't feel so bad about this. Now, if someone's Boil Naira Murasa B'Yom HaKippurim, he deserves to be hung. Someone's Boil Naira Murasa, he's Chayv Skila. And even though Kolan Eskolim Nitlin, but two things. Number one, they weren't killed on your day, the gallows. That was something that was done after the fact, that even then, it's a sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin, and we passing that the only time the Niskolim were Nitlin was if the person got skila because he was a Megadev, or because he was a Oved Avodah Zarah. We have a related bite on this. We have a related raid bite on this. Going back to Masechta Sanhedrin, it's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. It's a Dover Nifla Mamish. Either way, so the Gemara says, Iniach Yodei Al Bnei Meyav. So after this happened, meaning Relaz Reb Shimon caused this person to die. And then he chapped afterwards, maybe he shouldn't have caused them to die. But then they told him that, you know what, this person actually deserved to die. So when he heard that, he put his hands on his stomach, Omar, and he said, Sisu Bnei Meyai Sisu. He says, no, my gut, right? He put his hands on his stomach. He's referring to his gut, because this is very much being executed based on the gut of Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. He says, my gut, you should be very, very happy. And he added, he said, Umas Sveika Shalachem Kach. Madach, when I wasn't 100% sure, meaning I rather thought maybe I did the wrong thing, said Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. But still, I got it right. Vadoy Shalachem Alachas Kama Vakama. Then for sure, you know, when I see a guy falling asleep over a glass of wine the fourth hour of the day in a chanos, and I know he's not a Tzum Rabban or a Schir Yaim, or he doesn't, right? Then for sure, I'm right. Meaning he was very confident, he was very happy with the way this turned out. Because at the end of the day, he realized that even though what he's doing is a little risky, a little dangerous, right, living on the edge, but at the same time, he chapped, then it must be right. He said, Muftach ani bochem, and he told his bnei meya, he told his gut, that I give you a haftocha she'in rima v'toileya shayletes behem. That there's no rima, there's no toileya, meaning after 120, all these elements are not going to be able to have any shlita because the bnei meya are mamish kodesh. Abavafilu hachi, despite the fact that he heard what he heard, that these people were really not good people. Who bnei balu na'am rasa v'yema kipu. And he said, Sisu, bnei meyai, Sisu. But still, when miyas v'dayte, he wasn't 100% sure. And he wanted to make sure that his gut was still Kaddish and wasn't doing anything wrong. And that Rima v'teileya wouldn't be shaylatin in after 120. And he decided that he's going to do a little bit of a procedure. And this procedure is going to give him the confidence that it's going to work out, depending on how it plays out. Okay, so what was this procedure? Ashkiyua sama deshinta. So he gave him a sam, some potion, that made him fall asleep. So some anesthetic. Vailu the base of the shesha, and they brought him into the operating room. So in the olden days, a marble room was the OR. So they wheel him into the base of the shesha, the karu the krese, and they tore open the stomach of Rablazab Rab Shimon. Havimafka mine dikule dikule de tarba. And they were taking out a lot of fat from Rablazab Rab Shimon. Rashi says, Lefisha balbasa hoyim ma'oid. The Gemara is going to talk about this in a minute. That he wasn't a balbasa. Balbasa hoyim ma'oid. So they were taking out a whole bunch of fats. Umoisvi b'shimshu b'tamuzvav. And they put it out in the sun during the hottest days of the summer, Tammuz and Av, and it didn't spoil. Nothing happened to it. And that was his raya. Oh, you see that the Bnei Meyai are 100% okay. But the Gemara says, one second, the fats didn't spoil and rot and decay in the sun. Apparently, no one's fats would decompose in that way. So the Gemara says, not true. Kol tarbo lo yisariach. The tarb itself, the fat itself doesn't decompose. Aba shuraiki sumki masriach. So these are like some blood vessels, membranes. They would go bad. Hacha, but by Rablaz Reb Shimon, af al gav de iku shuraiki sumki, even though there was all the shuraiki sumki, lo yisariach, nothing happened. And when Rablaz Reb Shimon saw the way it played itself out, kari anafshe, he said regarding him the following pasuk, af besori yishkoin loveta. Now he's comfortable. His basa will be yishkoin loveta. Says him, af rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, Mata Kihai Maisel Yodir. Shmuel Rabbi Yosi ended up in a very similar situation with Lazar Rabbi Shimon, where he was hired by the government to go hunt these people, and he had to use some gut strategy to figure it out. The Gemara says, Pogav Eliyo Navi met Amalei Eliyo Navi said, Ad Masay Atom Moiser Amishel Elikenu La'Riga. So by Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, it was Rabbi Shulben Karcha that told it to him. Then the Kovas told it to him. by Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, who told it to him? Elio Navi told it to him. And he says, why are you doing this? Amalesi, he told him, Ma'avit, Hamrin of the Malkahu. I have no choice. I got this job. Amalesi, he told him, Avuch, Arak, La'asya, your father, Rabbi Yossi, he once was in a situation where he had to run away, and he ran to Asya, at Aroit Lutkiya, you should run away to Lutkiya, says the Gemara. So we just mentioned Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and we mentioned Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. What do they have in common in our Gemara? They're both being moistrim on some level, where they're finding Ganovim and them handing them over, and all these people are getting killed. The Gemara also mentioned that Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon was a Baal Basar. Rashi says he was a Baal Basar Ma'oid. The Gemara is going to say now that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was also a Baal Basar. It sounds like this is a coincidence in the sense that Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda are both involved in this inyan, and they're also Baal Basar. Unless it has some sheikhs, the Sisu, Bnei Me'ai Sisu, I'm not sure. But either way, says the Gemara, Ke'avi Miklu, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, they would come together, Bahadi Adadi, have Ayul Bakri, the Turi Benayu. So if they would stand face to face, right, where their stomachs were touching, so there was so much distance in between them that the Bakri, the Turi, that animals literally could have gone underneath them, but they have a Nagavu, and they wouldn't touch. Not Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, "Amar Luya Matir Nisa." So there was a Matir Nisa who once told them, "Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Bneichem Einu Shalachem. Your children must not be your children." And the reason is because they were so big that she assumed that it wasn't shayach for them to be involved in tashmish and have a child. Amar Luya. So they told her, "Shalahem Gadam Yishalanu." He says, "We're big, but you should know our wives are even bigger than us." So she said, "If that's the case, Kolshken, then certainly you can't have any children." Seigadam Yisam say Hachi Amar Luya that what they responded was kikiish kvu rasi, that it's true. He said we're very big, but at the same time the ever atashmish is znel umaze, and as a result the shaykh was to have children. Ikadami some say hachi amrulah. This is what they said. Ahava deicheches as abaser, that it's true. Maybe al piderek atev, you can't really hear it, but at the same time ahava is deicheches as abaser. The ahava makes this work. Says the gemara of alamalu laduri. Why they even answer? For ksiv, doesn't the pasuk say al tan ksil ki ivaltoi? Meaning if a ksil says something, that's supposed to respond to the ksil. So the Gemara says, Pashit, he didn't want that there should be any laws that their children are not their children. Really, they would have never answered someone like this. But at the same time, they did what they did. Now, Rashi has two pshatim what this means. The Rishonim have different pshatim. But Pashit Pshat is referring to the Evra Tashmish. That's the segue. So the Evra Tashmish of Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was the size of a chemis that can contain 9 kabin. Amra Papa, Evarid Rabbi Yochanan was chemis bas chameshes kabin. Amrila bas shleshes kabin. Papa Gufe, as well as Rapapa himself, it was Kedikuri, the Harfanoi, some baskets from Harfanoi. That was a Vare de Rapapa. Either way, we're going to stop here again. This is just the beginning. These Gemaras are going to be famouser and famouser as we go along. This was very, very much the Haskalah. But just to mention one Ha'ara, and that is, so the Gemara says that Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon is working for the government, and he's using his gut, literally, Sisu Bnei Me'ai, Sisu, to try to incarcerate people. And the Gemara tells a story that a person, a koyve, saw Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon doing his thing, and he told him, Chaimitz ben Yai. I mean, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon had maybe the most famous father ever. His father is Rabbi Shimon Ba'ichai. And Rabbi Shimon Ba'ichai is the Hilgatana Rashbi. He's Yai. And Rabbi Lazar doesn't seem to be behaving properly. So the koyve told him, your father was Yai, but you're Chaimitz. Yochemitz ben Yain. And when he heard that, he was very disappointed. He said, a chutzpah to come and call me Chaimitz. He says, and if he's such a mechutzif, shma mino rishiyuhu, he deserves to die. Afterwards, he chapped him. Maybe it wasn't the right thing to do. And he tried redeeming him, but he didn't have the ability to do it. It was already too late. They had already hung him. And he felt very, very bad about what happened. So the Gemara says, they told him and they said, Rebbe, al yei rabbein necha, don't feel so bad. Shehu ubnoi balu naira murasa b'yayim ha-kippurim. Because you should know, him and his son, they were boil naira murasa b'yayim ha-kippurim. They did something so terrible. He's a bad guy. He's a real Rishia. You got it 100% right. He was someone that deserved to die. And as a result, you don't have to feel bad about the way this played itself out. The Gemara wanted to bring out what a rasha this person was. What's like the ultimate rishis a person could do? He was boil naira murasa b'yayim ha-kippur. It's interesting. The Gemara does this in a few places. This Gemara in Perek HaNezakin, the sugi is of Churban Bayesheni, and the Gemara over there was talking about a village called Kfar Sechanya that was destroyed circa Churban. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yumi Bar Chilkiya, Rabbi Chilkiya Bar Tuvia, Rav Huna Bar Chia, Havi Yasvi Gabi Adadi. They were all sitting together. Amri, they said, Ika the Shmiel in Milsa, Mikfar Sechan Yishal Mitzrayim Leim. If there's anyone that could tell us something about what went on, what were the terrible deeds of these people that lived in this village, please step forward. So each person said a different anecdote that he had heard about the people in the city. So the Gemara says, Pasach Idach, one of these three Chachamim said, I said, Ma'i said there was a story, the Amdu Arbam Moidiyos Bedina, where all of a sudden there was some excessive inflation. And they couldn't figure out what was going on. Ubadku, so they did bedikus into the spiritual state of the people in the village. Umatsu, and they found Avubnoi, a father and a son, Shabo al Naira Murasa b'yom Kippurim. They were born Naira Murasa b'yom Kippurim. This Indian, that's like the worst of the worst. You want to hear what was going on in this city? I'll tell you a maisa. That's the story that happened in this city. Another Gemara. This Gemara is a Masechtas Yuma. Taf Yutes on the base. The Gemara says, Amale Eliyo, the Rabbi Yehuda Achud, Rav Salah Hasida, Eliyo Anovi, Yoa Tishbi, he told Rabbi Yehuda, who was the brother of Rav Salah Hasida, Amritu, I hear the Jews saying, Amale Yosem Mashiach. Everyone's walking around wondering, why did Mashiach come? So he says, you want to know why Mashiach didn't come? You want to know? I'm going to tell you why. Because Va'id the Yom Kippur, he said, today's Yom Kippur, the evil Kama Besultus bin Nahardo. And you have no idea how many Besulois when Nivel and Mamish for the first time. On Yom Kippur. He says, you want to know why Mashiach's not coming? That's why Mashiach's not coming. And the Gemara goes on and continues. But the point is that this was something that Chazal used in different places to bring out like the worst Aveira someone can do. To be Boil of Psula, be Boil of Naira, Murasa, be Yom Kippurim, Huv, Noi. This is like the worst of the worst. So it bothered me a little bit. A very obvious question. And that is, everyone knows the Gemara. It's actually Gemara Masechtas Yuma. And Daf Chof Amar Aleph in Masechtas Yuma. Where the Gemara says that the word Hasatan is Bigamatria 364. And the Gemara says that there's 365 days of the year, but Hasatan is Bigamatria 364 because Tlas Mea Veshitin Varbo Yoimi Isle Rishus Alastune. There's 364 days in the year that the Satan has Rishus to be Mastin, to do his thing. But on Yom Kippur, one day, the Yoim HaKadosh, then the Satan doesn't have any ability to be Mastin. It sounds like the Satan, he closes shop, right? He shuts down one day. He's not working on Yom Kippur. So if he's not working on Yom Kippur, how are these terrible Averas happening on Yom Kippur? Now the truth is, let's just think about this in less dramatic form. People do Averas on Yom Kippur. Leider. Why are they doing Averas? If the Satan doesn't have an ability to be Mastin on Yom Kippur, so how is it that people are doing Averas on Yom Kippur? I'll ask you another kasha. We know that the Satan is also the Malach HaMavis. It's the Gemara in the end of the first paragraph of Masechtas Bava Basra. Malach HaMavis does his thing on Yom Kippur. Rather, Meis Piyam HaKippurim is a big Indian, but the Malach HaMavis kills people on Yom Kippur. If the Satan is HaSatan 364, because there's one day a year that he doesn't have the ability to be Mastin, so how is it that the Malach HaMavis, who's the Satan, seems to be putting in a full day on Yom Kippur? How exactly do you reconcile all this? So I found Eis She'ohav Onafshi of W.O.Y. Shlita in Megadim Chadash, and this is in Parshas Achrimos. It's on the pasuk Ki Bayoyim Azay Yechaper Aleichem Matari Eschem Mikol Chatei Seichem Lefnei Hashem Tetaru. He has an Arichus Gedoyla on this Inyan, and he says that B'muschur Rishin. I'm not sure the Kasha even starts. What does the Gemara say in Masechtas Yuma Daf Chof Amar Aleph? The Gemara says the 364 days that the Satan has the ability to be Mastin. B'yoyim De Kippure Less Le Rishusa Lastune. What does it mean to be Mastin? What does the word master mean? It's an Aramaic word. It means to be makatrig. There's 364 days that the Satan can be makatrig. On Yom Kippur, the Satan can't be makatrig. It doesn't say the Satan has a day off. The Satan wears a bunch of hats. He's a multitasker. He has a whole bunch of jobs that he does simultaneously. One of them is he's the Satan. Miloshim lahastin. That's what he does. On this one day, he can't be mastin. But it means that he's not operating as a Yetzirah. It means he's not operating as a Malach HaMavis. Mechatesi. Lahastin enochinami, that not. That was the Sol Azazel, like the Ramban says, the Soidus of it based on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. But the point is that no one says that he doesn't work. All we're saying is that he's not master. But says Rabbi W, wise, as glatt and as tempting as it would seem to learn Psha and the Gemara that way and say that we got it wrong. We always thought there's no Yetzahara on Yom Kippur. It's not true. It doesn't ever shus lastune. These Gemaras, what people are doing, it's common sense. Just look around. A bazook there, The problem with saying that is that there's so many Mekoros in Rishonim where the Rishonim said Mefurish with Bok Tzeiner that the Yetzahara is not Shoyvan on Yom Kippur. I'll just give you one dogma, the Marivayel. This is in his Tshuvas, it's in Simen Kuf Tzadik Beis. The name of the Tshuva is Dine Yom HaKippurim. So he talks about the greatness of Yom Kippur. Ba'asal HaChodesh is Kodesh Kodoshim. And that's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekabel Lukas Achroinos. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Solachti Kidvarecho, the avodah that was done in the Beis HaMikdash was a very unique avodah. It had to be done by Kohen Gadol. And he's going on and on and on, talking about all the shiras v'sishbachas of this very, very holy day. Toich Dvarov says, the Marivayel, Umishum Hachi, it's for that reason, Ein HaSatan, Dahainu Yetzahara Soitein, it's for that reason that the Yetzahara can't be Shoilet. Dahainu Yigar Hashem Becha HaSotan, HaSotan Begimachi Shin Samech Dal. The Kivan Chainbo Yetzahara says the Marivayel, being that a person doesn't have a Yetzahara, Oy Loi Shem Mispat Alasu Ischet. Woe is to a person that doesn't have Aveir on Yom Kippur. And if he doesn't have Aveir on Yom Kippur, Oinshay Kafel, his Oinish is going to be doubled. U Bechibas Hashem Es Yisrael, Nasa Lehem Yoyim Zel Kapara, the Ein Yetzahara Shoylet Boy, the Bekal Yesh Nasa is Shuvah B'Yoyim Zel. He says in Mefurish, the Yetzahara, not just the Sotin can't be Mekatrig in Shamayim, but the Yetzahara doesn't have any Shlita. He brings from Rishonim that say that we know that in Yom Kippur a person's like a malach, right? We hear that expression a lot. It certainly feels that way. You wear a faisa kittel. But there's this inyan that seems to have a shaykhis and an association with the Yom HaKudosh that on Yom Kippur you're a malach. A malach is imbo le'achila, v'le'shtiyah, etc., etc. That's the chamishi inuyim because we're like malachim. But the Rishonim say a malach also doesn't have a yetzahara. And in Yom Kippur it's ha'satan. There's no yetzahara. Kippur. And it's that way that it's so manifest, this inyan, that a yid becomes a malach. So said Rav David Yoel Weiss, that as much as it's true that in Pshat and the Gemara, you could say, Lesle Rishusa Lastun, it just means it can't be Mekatrik. But the problem is this Tile Tilim of Rishonim, where it's Mavur, not that way. One of the Marmakoimus that he brings is a Dover Nifla, it's a Drosha. In the Sefer Oitzus Yosef, it's a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha for Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel said, based on a ton of Devei Eliyahu Zuta, that the Aseres Yimei Tshuva are connected to Aseres Hadibros. As I state in Medrash, that the Aseres Yimei Tshuva are connected to Aseres Hadibros. Said Rabbi Yosef Engel, Adava Nifla, that Yesh Loima, it's not just that the 10 days are connected to Aseres Hadibros, but each day corresponds to that Dibra. Meaning, what's the first day of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva? Rosh Hashanah. That's Kenegan Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The second is, right? The second day of Rosh Hashanah, that's Moyiyah. It goes Zel Umazeh. The 10th day of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, said Rabbi Yosef Engel, is the Yom HaKadosh, it's Yom Kippur. What's the 10th of the Aseres Hadibris? Lisachmoid, Veloy Sesava. He says, what's the Oymik? Because half Satan's Begamatria 364, there's one day that he doesn't have a Yetzahara. On that day, you shayach to Loisachmoid and Loisachmoid. Right, the Ebenezer's Kasha, how could you tell a person Loisachmoid and Loisachmoid? It's a natural instinct, it's a natural feeling. The Teretz is, there's an inyan where a person could come to Loisachmoid and Loisachmoid, and that is Mechuvim to Yom HaKadosh, because on the Yom HaKadosh and Yom Kippur, every year is Loisachmoid and Loisachmoid. Because every single year doesn't have a Yetzahara. But the problem is, I just look around. People do averus in Yom Kippur. The biggest averus. How do you reconcile this? How is this something that you make sense of? So Rav Yoel Weiss says a dover niflam mash. Says as follows. So everybody knows that when Hashem created Adam and Chava, He placed them in Gan Eden and He told them, "Nikol eitz hagan ochol toicho, umi eitz hadas toivera." That one tree you're not allowed to eat from. And then the Nochash HaKadmoni came. And he goes to Chava, and he coerces her to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Not just that, he coerces her to coerce Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And of course, the rest is history. Who is the Nochash HaKadmoni? The Nochash HaKadmoni was the Eitz Hara. He was the Satan. He was in a physical embodiment of this serpent, of this Nochash. It's Yodua, the Reb Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh HaChaim and Shaar Aleph says that the emes is that before Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, man was 100% Kaddish. It was Adam Rishon Kaddish Machet. Alekim Ases Adam Yasher. He was 100% Ruchni. And although he had Bechira, and although there was a Yetzahara, but the Yetzahara was an external force. It was what is known in the Yeshiva vernacular as a Yetzahara Mibachutz. He was on the outside. He was external. It's just like someone could come over to you and try to convince you to do something. There was a Metzias of a Yetzahara, the Nochash HaKadmoni, who had the ability to convince man who is 100% perfection, to do something that really he wasn't supposed to do. And that's the Nachash HaKadmon. But then what happened? What happened was, Adam and Chava both ate from the Eitz Hadas. And as soon as they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they did that first Aveira. They ate something they weren't supposed to eat. The sin permeated the bloodstream of Adam and Chava, the DNA of man. And now, Tumah and Ra would not only be something external, something mibachutz, but it became part and parcel of the conscience of the person. Chaim V'lozhin says that that's the oimik in the Gemara Masechtes Shabbos Taf Kufa Vav Amid Aleph. Shebeshot Shebon Nochash Al Chava Hitel Bo Zuama. There was a Zuama that entered Chava. What was the Zuama? The Zuama was Chet. The Zuama was Ra. And now a person is made up of Toiv and Ra at the same time. There's still an element of Elikim Asas Adam Yosher, of Adam Rishon Kaidem Achet. But La'ach Rachet, now there's also the Zuama. And that Zuama creates a Taruvus. Chaim V'lozhin says that's the Oimik of Kiyin Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Yasa Toiv Lo'yechto. It's impossible for a person to be perfect. Why? Because you have Ra inside of you now. And he says that even if you'll never do an Aver in your life, but for sure the mitzvahs that you will do won't be able to be B'tachlis HaShleimus. Because part of your DNA, part of the fact that you're a human being right now, La'achar Achet, means that there's some imperfection. And that imperfection will be manifest, and it's something that on some level is going to ultimately affect you. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says that Yisrael she'amdu al Har Sinai pasku zu amasam. That when the Yidden stood at Har Sinai, it was pasku zu amasam. But unfortunately, Chazal also said that this was short-lived. After the Yidden sinned by the Chet HaEgel, they got the Zuam Masim back. So Chaim V'lozhin says, that's why right after the Chet HaEgel, what happens? Bas Satan, Virike Benem. Right? All of a sudden, the Satan comes like a Nachash HaKadmoni. He comes like, meaning right after they were Makabal the Torah, all of a sudden the Satan appears to be Machshel them, Boshesh, and he gets the Yidden to think that Moshe Rabbeinu died. We haven't heard from the Nachash HaKadmoni in a long time. How did he suddenly appear? Because now all of a sudden that it was Paschal Zua Masav, they still have to be Bechira. So where's the Bechira? It's Yetam Mibachos. And that's why all of a sudden, then they sinned with the Chet HaEgel, and then all of a sudden it became Mibifnim again. But Al Kopanim, that's the way Reb Chaim V'lozhin Kiyudu and Shar Aleph and Avshachayim, he lays out the history and what the significance of Nachash HaKadmoni was, and what was this Toiv Ra that all of a sudden man had as soon as he ended up eating from the Eitz Hadas. But the Sfar Makdoshim say a Dover Nifla. They say a Dover Nifla. And that is, that although after Adam Rishon and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, all of a sudden, the Ra entered the conscience of the person and now became part and parcel of the person, but the Eitz Harim B'chutz doesn't go away. It's still there. There's still a Nachash HaKadmoni. It's still out there. It's still Drenzach. There is a Metzias of a Nachash HaKadmoni. And that Nachash HaKadmoni is referred to as the Yetzer Hara by Chazal, and it makes its rounds. Just to understand this a little bit better, what does it mean that a person has the Yetzer Hara b'fnim? Right? What does that mean? Before Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, all there was the Yetzer Hara b'chutz. Then he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Now there's the Yetzer Hara b'fnim. So we know what this means. We heard enough Musa Shmuzin in our life. You have to open up a Musa Seif. You have an idea of how this operates. But it's very, very straightforward. Man is made up of two components, right? There's a ruchnius, there's a chelik, there's a neshama, there's a seichel, there's a chelik legami mal, and then there's chumrius, there's the nefesh abahami, there's the guf, right? You have these two components. There's these two things that a person is made up of. And the ruchnius in the person is attracted to ruchnius, and he tries leading a person to do the right thing. And the chumrius and the nefesh abahami in the person is attracted to aveira and to bad and to tuma, and he tries leading the person to do something bad. And that's this struggle that's inside of every single person, where on the one hand you have your yetzer tov, your neshama, that's pushing you to do the right thing, and then you fakert, you have this yetzer hara, this evil inclination that's pulling you to do the wrong thing. Now, if you think about this a little bit more, right, how does this usually work? The way this works is that if you have a person that does good, okay, so the more good you do, so the more you get used to doing good, and the more you're going to do good, right? That's like a pasha dezach. That's a pasha dezach. The more good you do, the more you're going to want to do good. If somebody does averus, the more he does bad, so the more used to doing bad he is, and the more difficult it is for him to stop himself from doing bad. You can think about it almost like muscle memory, right? It's like muscle memory. You work out a muscle, so there's now all of a sudden becomes part of you. what we know as hergo, but it's all the same thing. That when it comes to toiv, the more you do toiv, the better you're going to be at toiv. The more you do ra, the better you're going to be at ra. This is posh. I'm not saying one chiddush, right? It's mamash al. You can say it in 800 different nuschais, but it all means the same thing. This is aleph base, and that's why rishon just do averis, and tzaddikim just do mitzvahs. And it's much easier for a tzaddik to do a mitzvah, and it's harder for a rasha to do a mitzvah, and it's easier for a rasha to do an aver. It's harder for a tzaddik to do an aver. It makes perfect sense because he's working out these muscles and he's working out those muscles. That's his hergel. And as a result, this is the way it plays itself out. So I want to ask you a question. Everyone in their life at some point asks themselves this question. Chazal say, "Kol agadol mechaver yitzur gadol mimeno." What does that mean? Right? It means that the Chafetz Chaim had a bigger yetzahara to speak lashon hara than we do. It means the Chazanish had a bigger yetzahara to be mevatel Torah than we do. It's posh. That's not what it means. Of course, that's not what it means. So what does it mean? Kol agadol mechaver yitzur gadol mimeno. Aleph base. What it means is avada mitzad the netur l'chayetzahara. The Yetzirah mi b'fnim. Avada, the Rosh is way more. The Rosh walks away, talks Lashon Hara the whole day. So what's stopping him? The Chafetz Chaim with his ear Shemayim and now a heart with it's not Shayach. He can't even fathom something like that. Oh, but it's not Tzveit the Yetzirah. The Tzveit the Yetzirah is the Yetzirah mi b'chutz. And the Yetzirah is a whole different Indian where the Satan can come as a Nochash and he can come and try to seduce you and tempt you to do something. That Yetzirah, that Satan doesn't care about the guy that's a Baal Aveira. You know that Satan cares about? Kol Agadol Mechaver Yitzur Gadol Mimenu. That's what he cares about. And that's the Indian of Kol Agadol Mechaver Yitzur Gadol Mimenu. It's a fascinating topic, but it's poshit mamish. The word is avada, the Yetzirah that comes from your nature. That avada, the Rosh's Yetzirah is way bigger than the Tzaddik's Yetzirah. What Shaykhis? They're not even on the same planet. But when it comes to this Satan that has an ability to lurk mi bachutz, the way it did, koydem acher, it's still out there. Now, that son's not necessarily part of your everyday life, but he's going to appear sometimes. And when he appears, he actually goes after the tzaddik more than he goes after the rosh, because he's more interested in the tzaddik. And that's why tzaddikim sometimes have nisyonis that regular people don't have. And it can be a nisyon, like the Gemara's Nenem Masechtas Kedushin Binyani Arayas. It can be a nisyon Binyani Amunah. Avraham Avinu was tested. Shem keeps on testing his Amunah. He's testing it again and again. Dafka, because he was the one that was Makir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so his Amunah is being tested over and over again. For another tzaddik, maybe the nisyon is Gaiva. It can be something different for different people. But it's the Satan who's literally dressed up as a Nachash or something else, and the point is he's coming now, he's trying to get the person to an Aver. Oh, but it's two dinim in the Yetzirah. This is the Yetzirah mi Bachutz and the Yetzirah mi Bifnim. The Yetzirah mi Bachutz, that's the Nachash HaKadmoyni. The Yetzirah mi Bifnim, that's your conscience. That's you making poor decisions day in, day out, and as a result, that part of you is more worked out and more, it's Arabic, and the hergel of that is stronger, and as a result you're doing more aver. So the Nachash HaKadmoyni was the only game in town before Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, and afterwards all of a sudden there was Zuama, there was this big Taroivis, this big Tzemishachs between Toiv and Ra. Oh, but Nachash HaKadmoyni, say the Svar Makdoshim, never went away, and because he never went away, that Nachash HaKadmoyni could still be there, and it's clappy that Nachash HaKadmoyni, that you have this Inyan, that you have this Inyan of what? You have this Inyan of Kol Agadol Mechaver Yitzur Gadol Mimenu. It says with David Yoel Weiss that V'yesh Loimar, it's Poshet. Avada, the Yetzirah, that's your nature. You walk around all day, every day, doing bad things. What's going to change on Yom Kippur? It's not going to miraculously change. So what does it mean that there's no Yetzirah, that today's a day where Bekal Yochel Lasas Tshuva? What does it mean? If you're a person that's doing the right thing, you're a person that's making smart decisions, you're a person that bad seems a good person. No, you're caught in this Muhammad. About all the Satan comes and the Satan's Meval with the Mayach and he doesn't let you do things. Today the Satan shuts down. Les be Rishus Lestune. He can't. The Nochesh HaKadmoyni, Yen and Nochesh. He's out of business today. Closed. Big sign in front of his door. And that's what it means that there's no Yetzirah. And it's clapping that. There is a Yetzirah and there's not a Yetzirah. They're both true. There is a Yetzirah in the sense that the Yetzirah mi Bethnim exists. Or Besnito can Yetzirah in the sense that there's no Yetzirah mi Bachutz. Just to end. And that is that if you want a Marumakim Nifla on this whole Indian, take a look in the Droshes from the Beis Halevi. It's Drush Tezvav. Imamish Prince Nafshachayim. He talks about this Indian. Just this general topic. Either way, middle of the drasha, says the Beis Halevi, a davar nifla. He says, we know that the Sfarim in different places talk about sigufim, right? The kubalim used to lay out, even the rakeach, the rishonim already, were very busy with different sigufim, that if a person did this aveira, you should fast this amount of tanesim. They used to do gilgul sheleg, and do a whole bunch of different things that the Mekubalim used to lay out. And the Beis Halevi says that if you think about it, it's a little bit shver. What's Sigufa? The Rambam wrote Hilchas Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yoina wrote a Sharei Tshuva. We know how a Yid's supposed to do Tshuva. What is Sigufa? If I do a Sniva Sachet, I have Kharot Ala'ava, I make a Kabbalah Ala'asit, I'm Mizvad, I clap Al Chet, what more do I have to do? What is Sigufan? So the Beis Halevi says, Hafla Vafel. He says, Moshal Ma Davadoima. He says, somebody has a pot, you have a Keli, and it's a non kosher Keli. And you want to use it. It's not kosher. What do you have to do? To toivel it, right? But before you toivel it, what do you have to do? You have to clean it. You have to make sure there's no Shamnunas on it. After you remove the shamnunis, you remove any chaylev, anything that might be on this non-kosher keli, now you can take the keli and you can do hagolo. How do you do hagolo? I don't know, sometimes you put it in the ground, sometimes you put it in fire, sometimes you put it in a mikvah. The eshtezach you have to do is you have to make sure there's nothing on the surface of the keli. Afterwards, you toivel it to remove whatever's toich, whatever's in the pnimius of the keli. So says the Beis Halevi, he says the same issue when it comes to averis. A person does averis, he has averis. He has a whole balance sheet of averis. You have to give tzachanetza with it. And that's tshuva. That's the Rambam, that's Rabbeinu Yoina, that's Chavis Havavis, that's tshuva. The Rishonim lay out exactly how you're supposed to do tshuva. Pachas Yoish, it's the same thing. Don't do it anymore. Feel bad about it. Make a Kabbalah and even say it out of your mouth and do that, right? That's how you get out of it. That's tshuva in a nutshell. And that's something that Avada works, and that's the way you do tshuva. You know what that does? All that does is it cleans the surface. So there's no sham. You say, you know what the problem is, but? You know what the problem is? And this is what the Mekubalim of Bavarni said to Beis Halevi. The problem is you're going to wake up the next morning and you have a muscle, right? That's been worked at in a gym for the last 30 years that all it does is avedus. So how are you going to stop that? The Mebachot Gevaldik of the Maisi, your Metzias is ra. How are you going to change that? And if you don't change that, you don't stand a chance. That was Sigufim. Sigufim was, they used to pinig the guf. That's what they would do. It changed the guf. It literally beat the guf to the point where now all of a sudden the muscle memory of the guf, the hergel of the guf is a different hergel, and now you're able to kriech into the evarim of the guf and you're able to root out all the ra. So he says the chelke tshuva is removing the shamnunis of the keili. He said the Sigufin was taking out Altsfos licked in the Keli. So the Beis Halevi says, and we'll end with this, that the Svar Makdoshim say, and Chazal say, that if a person learns Torah, is guf right and under a guf. And there's an Indian of Zoys Torah Sachatos, Zoys Torah Sa'oshem, Zoys Torah Sa'mincho, that if somebody learns Torah Sachatos, it's Ge'ilu Hikrif Chatos. But Chazal even say that Kolawem Torah Lashma, it's Ge'ilu Hikrif Chatos. Right, there's this Indian that when a person learns Torah, learning Torah itself is a davar shel kapar. Where does that fall in? What kind of kapar is that? I thought I have to do tshuva. Where does it fall in? So the Beis Halevi says, you want to know what Torah is? Torah is sigufin. That's what Torah is. Torah changes the person. And that's what that chelik of tshuva is. Meaning, when you're dealing with kapara, you have to understand there's two inyanim over here. There's getting kapara for the averi that you did, but then there's also changing the person. Because if you don't change the person, you don't stand a chance. And that's what the mukubalim used to talk about sigufin. Uvehine, skula zum matzinu gamkein belimera Torah, belis siguf klal. That if a person learns Torah, Torah has that same capacity to change the person. He says that the Mishnah says in the Pirkei Avos that if someone's loymet Torah l'shma, machsharto liyos tzadik chosid yoshev and emma. So what does that mean? Machsharto liyos tzadik chosid yoshev and emma. So he says machsharto is like someone that's being machshir kelo mazurim. It kashers you. That's what the Torah does. The Torah is not the mechaper. The mechaper is tshuva. Avada dachnaton tshuva. So what does it mean Torah is mechaper? It's machsharto liyos tzadik chosid yoshev and emma. It kashers the person. The goof gets kasher. You're going to get rid of the averis by doing your tshuva. But how are you going to kasher the goof? How are you going to make sure that this is now a kosher keli? Because if it's a non-kosher keli, and tomorrow you're cooking in a non-kosher keli again, and your vayt are going to eat nevelos and treifas. The teretz is, al zeh nemar sigufin, al zeh nemar Torah. Torah has the ability to be machsher a person. Either way, there's the Yetzar mibachutz, there's the Yetzar mibefnim. Chaim V'lozhin talks about the Yetzar mibachutz, as if this is something in the past, not something in the past. Those Gemaras of Soif Kedushin, all these different Gemaras of Kol Agadol Mechaver, Yitzhar Gadol Mimenu, that's the Yetzar Mibachutz. And the Yetzar Mibachutz is a Shliach from a Kodesh Baruch Hu who has the ability to come and be Mastin. Mastin in the sense, Hashem Tzadik Yivchon, Faker Tavke the Tzadikim. Tzadikim sometimes have Nisyonis that really don't make any sense. Testing them and their Dveikis and their loyalty to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the craziest ways. Regular people don't have those nesiyonis. Tzadikim daika are the ones that have those nesiyonis. Kol agadol mechaver yitzur gadol imenu. Hashem yatzadik yivcham. But that's all from the standpoint of the Yetzar mibachutz. You want to know who had a, if the Chafetz Chaim had a taiva to speak Lashon Hara? I don't believe so. If the Nachash HaKadmoni would have came to the Chafetz Chaim and been malabish himself and tried being machshel the Heilige Chafetz Chaim and his Heilige mouth to maybe utter a word, maybe. But the bottom line is that would have had to have been a hirash. So that's something that couldn't have even happened on Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur it's less way. Rishvus Vastune. We will stop here.